The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
You to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. It is the 15th of February 2017. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, and our free 30-day ebook, which is basically conventional lifts using the power rack, and also the middle of the week, some serious sandbag training. Go out and check that out. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Will Dinwiddie on, and this is the first time this year in 17 he's been on the show. Go out and just look at all the shows Will and I have done together. They are some pretty explosive shows with tons and tons of not only knowledge but real know-how that's behind everything we talk about. And obviously, go in and look at all the shows. I believe in a little over 2 years, we've already got 700 shows. That's phenomenal to have a catalog like that. But with myself and everybody involved here, that's what's made it so. And I thank guys like Will and anybody else who's on the show. I'm not going to go out and start naming names because someone's going to get insulted, and we don't want to do that at all. But, you know, that's how it is with all that. Now, one thing we hit upon every show now are donations. Costs a lot of money to run this show. We're in the middle of all kinds of new things happening. Lots of money going out the door, and we're very tight financially right now, and we're building on that success to the point where we, down the road, are going to be able to do startups for people and help them out that are in the same position I am right now. But we got a hell of a show here, and for anybody that hasn't found it, you will find it, believe me. So, two ways of doing that. You can contribute to Patreon. It can be as low as a dollar, anything you want to do there. If you want to do it a different way, you can go out to my PayPal account, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Donate anything you'd like. Do it under the friend piece when you select it, because then you're not going to get money taken out for fees. So that's the way to do that. Anything you could do, we greatly appreciate here, and we thank you immensely for your help. Like I said today, we got Will coming on, but before I bring Will in, as everybody knows, I've been reading excerpts out of books quite a bit lately, and one of them we're going to read is a favorite of mine. It's out of A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court, Wooden, Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. It goes like this, and I'm really in the mood to comment on some things today that I've heard, read, actions by people that I think at some point it's going to get stopped one way or another, but that might be for another time. But it's called The Opinion of Others. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. I'm going to read that again. It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And what my pop said that I say at every show on the end, be a leader, not a follower. And you're not going to ever have any of the great I ams of strength, power, and confidence if you constantly think negative and welcome negative in your life. Will and I could do a show on that because I know how Will thinks with a lot of things. And if you've seen Will's comments out on Facebook and you follow him, you're going to kind of understand about the theory of I am. And it's not a theory. What you think about most comes to you, and we're going to get into that with Will today, because in my opinion, this is a guy, is, as I said before we came on, I call Will the jack of all trades, and I mean that in the highest esteem and regard for me, because this guy is something else. But here's a little bit about him. He's a trainer, strongman, He's the owner of Epic Fitness Solutions. He's a writer, arm wrestler, and an MMA fighter. And we're going to get into this. Will was in the Midtown Throwdown 10, and he was in an MMA cage fight. We're going to talk about the fight, how he trained, and just his mental attitude about everything. Will, welcome back. Happy 2017. Glad to have you back, my friend.
Thanks, Eric. It's good to be back, man. I can't wait to talk.
Anything I missed, you know, lay it out there, and we'll get started.
No, man, you got everything, you know, almost everything. You know, I've been competing for 20 years, 12 years straight now. You know, I started out in bodybuilding, then I got into strongman, and that led me into elite powerlifting, and then I got into arm wrestling, which I'm a professional arm wrestler now, winning the amateur world championships in 2015. Then I tried Moss wrestling, became the Northwest champion, and then I got into Highland Games and won the state championship in Highland Games. And then, I was doing all these things. I got into grip sports, placed third in the North American Strongest Grip just in December of last year. And then during that entire time, you know, like I was like I was getting a little burned out on weightlifting training because every contest I would train for, I would win. So I was like, I need something new, you know, and I would win my weight class. Let me just put it like that, you know?
Yep.
And then I'd been wanting to do a cage fight for a while, but the problem was I couldn't get anybody that would agree to do it with me because, you know, I'm so strong, you know?
I love
and
it.
So, I had a guy who approached me, who became my coach. He was a professional fighter, and he wanted me to train him for a strongman contest, you know.
Yeah.
But he was a little, and he was like, "If I can get you a fight, would you be willing to do a fight, and I'll teach you how to fight, and then you can teach me how to do strongman?" And I was like, "If you can guarantee me a fight, I'll do it," because I was a little, skeptical that I'd get one, you know, so I was kind of hesitant to want to do this and commit myself to the training. But when he told me he could get me a fight, I was like, okay, let's do it. So we started training in September, one day a week, just stand-up training. And then by November, I started doing jiu-jitsu because 2 months had gone by and I hadn't had a I didn't have a fight yet scheduled, but he said he knew a guy that was willing to fight me, like compete against me. I like to use the word compete instead, because fighting is such kind of like a really strong word, but that's what it was, you know. So he found a guy that was willing to compete with me, but it wasn't official yet. So I was a little, like I said, skeptical. So I told the promoter, which was also a friend of mine, I told him, I was like, will you just tell him that I'm just an over the hill burnout, and I'm going through a midlife crisis. Tell him anything so he doesn't back out, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
And so it from the very beginning, it was planned out, and we played this role that I was just a midlife crisis guy looking for something to keep me going because I was burned out on my training, and then all I was strong. I wasn't an athlete, a fighting athlete, but I had to do it like that because if he'd have known that I was, you know, really aggressive and really good on the mat, he wouldn't have done it. I was afraid that he wouldn't do it, and all that training that I put into myself would be for nothing except for me.
Yep.
You know, because I didn't. I'll be honest with you, man. I hated the training. I did not like the training, but I was willing to do it to have the contest happen because I wanted to compete in that arena.
Yep.
You know, and so, I mean, at first the training was good. It was a good break from the strength training, but then it became really rigorous, dude. And I'm not talking the stand-up. It was the jiu-jitsu, rolling, because every practice session of jiu-jitsu, they went on me like they all freaking like dogpiled me. And one after another, dude, it was just rigorous. Like they brought it to me, and I was like – I was having a hard time working out from the jiu-jitsu. It was really stretching me out, and just I would be shredded up.
Yep.
You mean when you – rolling hard against 240-pound dudes, up to 290-pound dudes.
Yep.
I was only rolling against heavyweights. Toward the end, I started rolling with some lightweights because they had better endurance than the heavyweights, and they'd keep me moving more.
Yep.
You know, but you know, and again, I trained also with the stand up. I only trained with professional fighters on the stand up. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, I took my losses in training, but nobody ever saw those because, you know, didn't want people knowing anything about my training because, again, if the guy knew that I was training hard, he might not want to do it.
Exactly,
so,
yep.
So we had to basically keep the training off of Facebook. I couldn't post about it, you know.
I think that's just as good, though, Will, because I didn't mean to cut you off. Couple comments, and I'll get right back to you. When you're talking about bigger guys obviously going toe-to-toe with them, I like the idea of that, and then I like the idea you're going with the lighter guys, and I'll tell you why, because it reminds me of an analogy I draw from training. If you've heard me and you and I have talked about this, I love the idea of something bigger trying to squash me or push me down. What does that do? That makes you want to come back up hard swinging. And you got it because you and I both know, I don't have to tell you, those guys at 290 are going to wear you out, and you're in damn good shape, and you know it. But it's a different style of training you're doing now. And what I like about when you're talking about going against the more lighter guys, the enduring guys, well, guess what? There's a whole other phase of you that's got to get better because you got to be able to keep up with these guys. So, you know, when we talk about the heavy, light, heavy, you know, when we talk stones that way, heavy, lighter. Well, see, to me, it's the same analogy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is that a correct analogy for what you're doing?
Yeah, man. Okay. I mean, the lighter guys, even though when you're bigger, you can kind of lay on them.
Yeah.
They're too squirmy. They won't just lay there. They'll keep fighting it out.
Yep.
A bigger guy, when you lay on them, they're tired too. So
they'll
just kind of lay and take it.
Yep.
So
yep.
You both kind of rest. But when you're dealing with these like 200 and under, these 200 pounders and under guys.
Yep.
They don't like having a big guy on them, and they have enough energy they can keep moving and squirming away from you.
Yep.
So it's like you can't – it's harder to hold them down.
Yep.
To be honest, a bigger guy gets so tired so fast, it's easy to hold him down. It's actually easier to hold a big guy down than it is a small guy.
Sure, absolutely.
When you're grappling,
yep.
At least when you're working with, like, skilled athletes. Now, if you're working with a beginner, obviously a little guy is going to be easy to hold down
because
they don't know what
you're
doing.
Sure.
And they'll get frustrated and panicky and, you know, like they'll burn themselves out quick in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, their mind will work against them. And that was another thing about this whole preparation was it was all mental.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole mental game, it was way more – the mental aspect of the preparation was a lot more important than for this kind of contest than it was for, like, strongmen and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, strength sports, you're not fighting against nobody, so you don't have to think about, oh, I'm going to get my head caved in or whatever. You're not trying to, like – you're not thinking, I got to do what I can to mentally get into this guy's head. You're thinking, I just got to be mentally strong so I can do well against those objects.
Yep.
Well, you know, in a fight, there's no, strength and size are important, but you see the guys in the UFC, the heavyweights in the UFC, they're not fucking, excuse me.
That's all right.
They're not big and buff guys.
No.
A lot of them look kind of like average guys off the street.
Yep.
You know, so. And there's a reason for that because having a lot of muscle, except for it, like there are exceptions like Brock Lesnar, but having a lot of muscle really isn't an advantage in fighting because if you don't train it correctly, you get tired faster because you have to oxygenate all that tissue.
Yep. No,
so actually in fighting, it's all about efficiency and cardiovascular endurance. However, I'm a weightlifter and a strength athlete, so I don't believe in that as much as I believe in being conditioned when you're strong.
Yes.
So I never stopped training lifting weights. I lifted weights all the way up until the Wednesday of the contest.
Awesome.
Which was three or four days with Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which was 3 days out from the contest.
Okay.
And a lot of people, all these fighters, even these professional fighters, were like 2 weeks out, don't lift any weights.
Yeah.
Just do nothing but cardio.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
I don't believe in that.
I don't either.
I think that
weakens you myself.
That's what I believe too. So, but here's how I did it. Here's how I lifted. So when I started doing jiu-jitsu, the first 2 months I was lifting the same as I normally lift, you know, mm-hmm. like my heavy lifting and all that. But then when we got into the jiu-jitsu, into the third month, which was November is when we started jiu-jitsu, I couldn't, about 2 weeks into it, I couldn't lift like I used to. It all caught up to me, all the hard rolling caught up to me, and I couldn't lift heavy anymore. So I had to modify my lifting. So I was talking with my coach, and this was also, let me add, the first time I ever had a coach
yep.
that was with me the entire way through this preparation. So for the entire time I was preparing, every week I had a coach every single day I rolled, every single day I did stand-up. I had a professional coach watching everything I did and adjusting me. And that was the first time in my entire career I've done that, because in my entire career – I've had mentors,
yep.
you know, but I have never had a coach with me step by step the entirety of the way. So all my preparations have been on me my entire career. This was the first time I'd ever prepared for a contest with an actual coach. And this is what I want to get into, the value of coaching.
Okay.
If I did not have a coach, my coach threatened to leave me too if I didn't go to jiu-jitsu. There were a couple of times where I'm like, dude, I'm so beat up, I can't go. And he's like, if you don't go to jiu-jitsu, I'm not coaching you.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I can't do this without him. So I was like, I have to go to jiu-jitsu. So that's when I started modifying my lifting.
Yep.
So this is how I did it, dude, and this is how simple it was. I did lifting just like I did a fight. So there's three rounds in a cage fight. There's three 3-minute rounds yep. with 1 minute rest in between each round.
Yep.
So that's how I did my lifting. So, and I did my lifting in supersets or giant sets.
Yeah.
And I just would yep. do a nonstop 3-minute go.
Yep.
So I would do like a Viper press of a log and then a sandbag over bar, for example.
Yep.
As one workout. And I would do 10 reps of the Viper press, then 10 reps of the sandbag over bar. And I would repeat. I would keep going back and forth until the 3-minute timer went off.
Yep.
Which was only about a set and a half.
Yep.
Of this. It's only all you could make it through.
Yep.
And then 3 minutes would go, and I'd rest for 1 minute,
yep.
and then I would go and do the exact same thing again and try to, at very, very, very least, match what I just did on the first set.
Yep.
And so it was really – it actually, dude, that was really a great way to train, because by the time I got to the third round of
yeah.
training, like the third set,
yep.
I would be exhausted, and trying to get those same numbers would be almost impossible, but I would just keep trying to push for it, and I would be – it was so clever of me. I can't believe that I figured this out.
Yep.
I did it with like a yoke walk and a front carry one time.
Yep.
I would do, in the beginning I was doing 5-minute goes, but toward the end, like the last 2 months, I was doing 3-minute goes. So I was training 5-minute goes because that's a professional fight.
Yep.
The rounds are 5-minute rounds. So I started out with 5-minute goes, and then I tapered them off to 3-minute goes toward about 2 months out of the fight, so I could get myself more prepared for what is a 3-minute go, how fast is 3 minutes. I want to know how hard I have to work for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want it, because 3 minutes goes by quick when you're in a fight. You know,
yep,
like
yep.
It may not seem like it at first, but when you start training it regularly, it goes by fast.
Yes,
you know?
It does.
So, and the idea was that I wanted to be able to nonstop work for 3 minutes, practice recovering for a minute, and in practice, I was able to recover myself within 20 seconds. I'd be ready to go again.
Yeah.
But in the fight, it was 40 seconds before I was ready. And so we'll get back into that in a minute here.
Well, I just want to tell you one thing quick, because you're right on the money. This is what I'm doing with Dennis. I wanted to bring this in later, but because of the stubbornness of him losing the weight, no matter whether it's body weight, isometric holds, you know, I'm doing a real unique rack program with him. And for anybody that doesn't know, who goes to Will's gym, or our buddy, Mr. Gregory there, who's met up with Will,
yeah.
He now has 2 power racks, which I couldn't be more enthused for him, because I can imagine what he'll be doing with that. But that's a whole other thing. But when you talk about this, I talked about this a long time ago, where I started training with an egg timer. And mm-hmm. it would be a half an hour, and that included the warm-up, and if I didn't make everything, you'd finish for the day. Why? Number three reasons. Testosterone, growth hormone, and the ability to start learning how to move bigger and bigger weights in that time frame without hurting yourself. Now, mm-hmm. I've applied that with Dennis.
Yeah, work capacity.
Unbelievable. Capacity. Now, I've incorporated that with him somewhat the way we're switching up the sizes of the Hoosa steel stones and the sandbags. But I did I don't think I put it up either. I did a very unique thing with the timer the other day with him where he had to keep cracking the tire with a 9-pound sledgehammer for approximately 2 minutes. Now, this is a guy that was in such horrible shape, and he's getting better. He would wheeze after 30 seconds. It was so bad. Well, he's already down from 271 pounds of a pregnant-looking man down mm-hmm. down to 258 now. This weekend, in the snow, carrying the heavy steel, he did
Damn,
not.
You guys got snow there still?
Oh, brother, we had two snowstorms. Some of the stuff I put up was him training in the snowstorm from Friday. Or Saturday, it was
That's crazy.
So he was walking with a 186 and a 145 and different variations of the sandbag. Now, people are asking me all the time, Will, and we'll get right back to you because I didn't mean to cut, but this is so mm-hmm. pertinent with what we're talking about. You know, all I ever get from people is, well, how heavy are they? I'm like, what the hell does it matter how heavy it is? Do you see what this guy's walking in? I mean, he's barely able to even traipse through it. You want to talk about resistance, but I got the whole thing. The egg timer, man, was driving him berserk with the sledgehammer to the tire. Mm-hmm. Like Will was saying, with these three-minute rounds. Now, I can't do what Will's doing with Dennis. I'll end up killing him if I don't look out. The idea
coax him. Something that I was already conditioned
Yes,
for.
But I'll tell you this. Will you wait? I think next Sunday I'm going to work out with him. He doesn't know either because there's people been asking me about the tri-quad dead stop squat, which I want to demonstrate that in the power rack for him. And I'm going to talk to you offline about this. I don't want to really get in this. I'm going to tell you some of the things with some steel stones I'm doing that I've never seen anybody do before. You're going to see a phase of it with Dennis this weekend. And as we keep doing the timer, the carry times, we're going to be going over a park with hills by the first week of March. I'm sure you've done many things like this, Will, but I think some of the stuff I'm stretching out on here might be a little bit different from what people have seen. It's real interesting. I didn't want to bring this in this early with him. I want him down to 200 pounds by June. That would be a 71-pound weight loss, and I'm going to prove to everybody that not only with a power rack, a stone, a sandbag, and a steel stone, I'm going to show you not only how you can get, just like Will was talking about, anything you want to get into, but I'm going to take a guy that was dangerously high in body fat, and I'm going to turn him into a 200-pound piece of iron. So take it. I didn't mean to get long-winded, but go ahead.
Well, that's also working on the diet. I believe in heavy weight training.
Yes.
If you really want to burn body fat, because the more muscle you have, the more fat you're burning when you're not doing nothing.
Yes, sir.
How you really lose body fat? Now, losing weight, body weight, and body fat are two different things.
Yep.
I see people talking about, I lost 10 pounds this week, and that's 10 pounds of pure body fat. I'm like, you did not lose 10 pounds of body fat.
No.
Because to lose a pound of body fat, that's 3,600 calories you have to burn.
Yep.
Extra than what you're not already consuming.
Yep.
That is a lot. So you cannot burn 10 pounds of body fat in a month.
No.
Maybe 2 months if you're burning 2 pounds a week. Or a pound and a half a week of body fat, which is really hard to do.
Yeah.
You can lose 10 pounds of weight in a couple of days easy. That's water loss.
Yeah.
That's stuff in your intestines, like waste that's been sitting there in your intestines. So when people lose that initial weight and their stomach gets a little flatter, it's because you had 10 pounds of crap in your intestines. Literally.
You're calling.
10 pounds of feces in your body that hadn't worked its way out yet.
Yep, I agree.
And then you've also lost water weight, dude. Yep. So it ain't body fat that you lost. It's just that a bunch of fecal matter that was stuck in your intestines. That's all that you lost.
I totally agree. And you know what else, too? Just something else, too. You know, all these different supplements and diets, and maybe to a point they might work, but I've come to this conclusion, and I really want your thoughts on this. I believe, and I totally believe now what I'm doing with him, and it's not the first guy, but I'm going a, I'm going more of my style lifting with him now. He's not at, he's nowhere near that level, but as I've said before, and you have said before, strongman is the ultimate training course, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I totally believe that. It's because it requires all athleticism. There's so many different requirements in the sport of strongman.
Yep.
It's not just static lifting. There's
no
moving events involved, and many different type of moving events.
And think about this, okay? This is the main thing right now. If you don't have a regime that you're training with and works, you can take all the pills, all the powders, all the cleansing teas you want, and maybe you knock off 25 pounds and you're all happy as hell. You have no muscle tone. You still feel like crap physically and mentally. And my conclusion to this, and I can't wait to what I hear you say with this, if you know how to have either a coach, an educator, as I call them here, someone to train you in the things Will and I are talking about strategically, strongmen, because we've said this before, and I'll repeat this to the day I'm dead. You can take, this is the only fitness exercise, health, whatever you want to clarify it as, where I can take a 300-pound stone and knock it down to 25, to 10, to 15, to 25, 30 with a sandbag or a light molded stone or river stone and turn you into a beast. And I'll make this quick. My little nephew Danny, I've talked about this on multiple shows because I'm so proud of him. 6 years old. He's got the gene pool on both sides with the height and the size and everything if he chooses to do it. His sisters are all great athletes. This little guy, besides coming over here with his younger sister, Maggie, to train here, they flip 15-inch tires and all that. Never force them. They want to go out with me when I'm out in the yard. Okay, I go over to the house at Thanksgiving, and his mom, my sister's got dumbbells. And he's like, watch me lift these dumbbells. So it might be a 5 and a 10. Beautiful. You want to learn a movement? Yep. Teach him how to do something. He's like a fish to water. You know, with your own daughter, these kids are amazing, man.
Yeah, okay. She's always fighting for my attention. She's like, hey, look, I can lift this.
Exactly.
And I can lift this. And I'm like, I know, darling. You know, like, I love that. She's
I do too. I do too.
With me and stuff, and it's cool.
Just think what you're building there. So, I call my sister and brother-in-law, and I said, look, I'm not pushing Danny. Nobody does, because Dan's downstairs training, and he comes down. All the kids do, and they watch and do things. I said, but I got something on my mind that I think would be really beneficial for him. So I tell him I want to build 2 sandbags for him, an 8-pound and a 12, and they're fine. Okay. So I go out, get the sand, break it all down, weigh it, you know, stuff it in the garbage bag first, tape it real tight with the duct tape, put it in burlap, do the same things, and I write a nice note on top of the tape, okay? So I do the 12 like that. Well, Will, he said, come on over anytime you want on the Sunday, and it was 2 weeks ago, Sunday it'll be, and I went over. And this kid, well, what really brought me to the point, and I'll make it quick, we're over there at Christmas, and the kitchen is off the cellar, and I hear all this banging, man, and I'm like, what the heck is that? So we're standing there talking. There's Danny. It had to be at least a 40-pound bag of rock salt that wasn't flipped, taped over anything. He dragged it all the way up the cellar stairs by the top of it and not dumped it on the floor, but put it right on the kitchen. And I was like, he's like, look how strong I am, Uncle. They call me Uncle H. And I said, holy cow, man. So I said, do you want to learn how to lift that thing really good? And he does this. He'll go like, yeah, like that. I said, come on, let's go out in the living room. So I fold the bag over. I teach him how to straddle it and just pick it up and bear hug it.
Yeah.
This kid's going nuts on it. So I get the idea then. I said, I'm going to build him now 2 sandbags. Well, you ought to see him lift these things. And I got to get my sister's permission, but I really want, you know, I won't give out last names or anything like that. But I said, you know, you got to see this already. And he's not getting pushed. And this is something you'll love that I say to him all the time. Every time I see him, I say, Danny, when you're 13 years old, you're going to deadlift 500 pounds. And if we're here, we'll go down and grab just the Olympic bar or a regular standard 25-pound bar. I have him get in the position and deadlift it. Now, you tell me what that's doing to a child already. And if he sticks with it without being forced, this kid potentially, because Dan was semi-pro football and he's like 6'5". Mm-hmm. He could potentially, if he wants to play football, he might even be a Division I ball player. I don't know what's going to happen to him, but what I'm saying is, and we talk about this, the possibilities are just endless. And little things, think about that. If he keeps up with this, I'll build him a 20-pound bag by the end of the summer, and I guarantee he'll be carrying that.
Yeah, dude. You want to encourage the next generations or these younger generations to take our place, because we're not going to be doing it forever. Eventually we're going to die, and so and how are we going to keep it going? You keep it going by teaching as many as you can, especially younger people, because young kids seem to really want they like the attention, and they want to impress you as when they look up to you, they want to impress you, and so they like to do things that they know will impress you, and so they'll do what you do. You know, if they see you lifting stones, they want to lift stones. You know, like that. Madison does it with me, and then and then I got I got a client that brings her son for arm wrestling, and all he wants to do is load the stones.
Awesome,
and
man.
Show me. Hey, show me. He's like, can you get the stones out? I just want to lift the stones. And I'm like, sure, no problem, man. So I got this little barrel that I pull out, and I load the 40 and 70 pound stone to the barrel.
I love it, man. Hey, you know something, Will? And tell me this. Tell everybody out there, how good does that make you feel?
Yeah, dude, because that makes you feel like all this time it's you're doing the right things, you know, like sometimes you can have you can get discouraged as a weightlifter or a professional or a coach or whatever, because you can you sometimes feel like, well, you know, why aren't more adults doing this with me? But then when you get kids that do it, like that want to do it, and they're asking you to do it, it's like, you know, you're doing the right thing, you know, like, because there was a it makes you remember when you were a kid and when you wanted to do stuff like that. You
I
know?
Agree.
And then you have a big guy that's showing you how to do it, that's encouraging you. It's like, yeah, man, they'll never forget that. You know,
they'll
won't. Have that memory in their head. And then they're going to talk about it. They're going to share it. Or it's going to inspire them to keep going.
I totally agree with that. I think that's incredible. But I don't want to get too far off, but it all goes what we're talking about. So
So going back,
back to the fight. Yeah, go.
So I used a yoke.
Yep.
An empty yoke, which was 200 pounds, and I take it down 100 feet and take it back 100 feet, so a 200 foot total gut run.
Yep.
And then I would do a 2/3 body weight 8-stone carry.
Oh, nice.
Down and back.
Nice.
So wanted to make sure it was 2/3. That way I could share that with other people. Be like, hey, take an empty yoke and take 2/3 of your body weight for a front carry and do a 100 foot down, 100 foot back, so 200 foot go on both.
Yep.
And time it for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and then take a 1 minute rest, and then do it again. Do that 3 times, and that's your workout. You know?
I think that's beautiful.
Or you can do that as many times as you want.
Yep.
I guess, but I was doing it like it was a fight. You know, like I was like, okay, I have a 3-round fight. Here we go, starting now. And then I jump into that. Dude, let me tell you something. You try carrying a yoke, a 200-pound empty yoke, and a 2/3 body weight front carrier for a 3-minute go, you know, 3 minutes or 5 minutes. By the time you get to the third round, you are completely exhausted. And these are lightweights typically when you think about the sport of strongman, but when you think about the conditioning for a fight, which are two different sports and two different ways of training.
Yep.
Dude, it was perfect, man. I was exhausted by that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that brought me the most confidence going into the contest. I knew that I was training in a way that this guy could not replicate, because I'm the only guy who thought about this stuff.
Exactly.
Who has this stuff in my area.
Yep.
And now I knew I did my research on my opponent, and he was an undefeated champion. You know, he was 2-0. He's been fighting his whole life, you know, whatever. You know, he's just he was just kind of a brawler. He's a logger. He owns his own concrete cutting business. So
nice.
I mean, he's a successful go-getter. He's an entrepreneur, but he also works for somebody else. You know, we had a lot of similarities in that way. He's a hard worker. He's tough. You know, like he gets up early in the morning to go log. It takes a tough person to do that. And then he'd come home and at the end of the day and train with his coach, which was actually one of my old clients.
Oh, awesome.
Believe it or not.
Awesome.
Which was a professional fighter that I helped win a few championships.
Awesome.
And so the great thing about the way we did it and me not posting about my training and stuff is that all this guy knew me as was a strong man. So he didn't know that how hard I was training in the fight preparation and stuff. Now, again, if you add up all my fight training, all the actual times I spent with a coach training, I mean, it's probably maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks total worth of days.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, of training, like maybe 20, 30 days total of training that I had that was spread out over the months going into the contest. But I also have been nonstop competing for the last 12 years, and I'd done a lot of other things, being a ranger in the Army and stuff, and you know, and kind of being hardcore when I was a kid and all that. So the mindset was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing, too, going into the fight week, you know, I had a lot of people that were, like, worried about me and wondering if I was going to do okay. A lot of, you know, and a lot of people in my town wanted to see me get beat up.
Sure, there were sure a lot you of, are. Yeah.
There were even a lot of fight coaches in this town that did not want to see me do well, because when I was training with some of the pros in one of the local gyms here, I was taken down professional fighters at will.
Nice.
They couldn't stop me from taking them down. And I'm not a fighter. I'm just a weightlifter, man.
Well, I was going to say, Will, not to interrupt, I'll make it quick. This is what I want to comment before. Can you ever, this is proof, once again, that weightlifting, and we can add the stones in with it, and that's as far as I'm going to go, is by far the greatest act of strength of anything you could ever do. You've proven it because of your power you have built, not only mentally and physically. You don't even have to be a fighter, but look at how you can overpower people and still take them down.
Yeah, dude, the guys that I was taking, one of the guys that I practiced against, a pro fighter that I practiced against,
yeah,
was 6'8", 280 pounds.
Yep.
And then there was another guy that was 6'3", 270 pounds. And he was a college wrestler, and he, when I was taking him down into the fence and stuff, and I stuffed all of his takedowns, and I'm like, I'm not even a wrestler, dude. And so at the end,
yeah,
and his coach was yelling at him, use your wrestling.
Yeah, use your wrestling.
And as soon as he said use your wrestling, I double legged him into the fence. You know,
like, I love it.
I was like, because I knew he was talking to him, but I was like, I ain't letting this guy fucking take me down. You
exactly.
Know? So, because when I went into there, these guys are big guys, but I was like, I don't care. I'm a big guy, too.
You know, you weren't afraid, man. Right. You're not
like,
afraid.
I'm not intimidated by them. You
no,
know? Like, they're
not at all.
I don't care if they're professional fighters. I'm like, you're a man. I'm a man. I'm strong. I got my strengths. You got your strengths. Let's do it. You know,
yep.
Let's find out who's the best.
Yep.
And you know, like, it was frustrating for them. And I could only imagine what their coach probably thought after I left. You know, how are you going to let this guy, don't even train, fighting, come in here and take you down like this and all this stuff, you know? Like, I would be thinking that if I had professional fighters getting taken down by some weightlifter, I'd be like, what the heck is wrong with you guys, you know?
Anyway,
my confidence was really good, and I was taking down wrestlers, and like I said, I didn't wrestle. The guy asked me at the end, he's like, so did you wrestle in college or anything? And I was like, no, I wrestled as a freshman in high school, like 20 years ago.
That's great.
And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, man, I just lift weights. And he's like, but I'm an athlete, you know, like, I'm not a quitter. And I'm also, when I say I'm going to do something, that's all that's on my mind is I'm going to do it.
Yep.
So if I told myself that I'm taking you down, there is nothing else to me. There is nothing. I'm not going to punch you or anything like that. I'm just going to wait till you throw the wrong punch and duck under it and take you into the fence.
Absolutely.
Because I knew once I pinned – and this goes into the fight. You know, my game plan going into the fight was I was prepared to stand up, but that wasn't my strength, and that's not what I wanted to do. I was like – especially after I – when we got into the fight. So when we get into the fight, you know, I go into this thing with absolutely no fear. If people were like, how are you not afraid? And I'm like, because I don't know. I'm just, it doesn't bother me. I'm not, you know, we wanted to fight. Let's fight. You know, like, I'm going to go 100%. We signed up to do this. I'm doing it. You know, like, like, there is no more there. You know, I worked all the fear out during the training, you know, like, that's during the training. I won't lie. There were some times that I had, when training didn't go well for me, like enrolling, there were times that I would have dreams of getting my head caved in against the side of the cage and everybody seeing that.
Yep.
You know, and I would wake up freaked out, and I'm like, that ain't gonna happen because I'm training harder than this guy, you know.
Yep.
I'm not gonna just let that happen, you know.
I agree.
So, you know, I did have my fears going into it in advance, like during the training, but come the fight week, come the day of the fight, it was nothing but pure confidence. I was like, I mean, backstage when I was warming up, getting ready, dude, I was like yelling beast mode. I was like, yeah, you know, beast mode. I was like, and I was, you know, I had to create scenarios in my head against this guy so that I would be aggressive and mean enough to go out there and be vicious against him.
You know? Absolutely.
I had to create, and I'm sure a lot of fighters can relate to this, you know, like when you're fighting a guy that you have no quarrel against, you have no negative thing against, how do you do it? How do you get yourself amped up to do it? It's not just the fact that they're trying to hurt you. It's, it's like, how do you go after and try to hurt somebody who's done you no wrong?
Exactly.
So you have to kind of create scenarios. So I created this scenario that this guy bullied the disabled kids that I take care of on the weekends. I just created this thing in my head that I was walking into the fight, and I envisioned seeing him pushing these two disabled kids down that I work with, and I was like, he's paying for that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I kept that thought in my head all the way into the stepping into the cage, and I was ready to go because I had that kind of vicious, like, kind of anger build up in me. It was all fake, you know, like in my head, because this didn't really happen. He didn't really do this, you know, and he's actually a pretty nice guy.
Yep.
But, you know, you have to do what you got to do to make yourself in a mindset to where you're going to go all out and there is no mercy, you know. Like, it's kind of like military, you know. Like, when you're in the military and you're doing your job, let's say you got to shoot somebody, it's not personal, you know. Like, you don't even know the guy you're shooting at, you know. Like, but it's him or me.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be me.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's like – so that's the mindset I carried in there with me. I used some old military stuff that I had learned in the military. I used some experiences from there to kind of get me wound up enough, you know.
Well, go ahead. I mean, as the old saying is, fake it to make it. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You know?
So I walk into the cage, dude, and I'm ready to go, baby.
Yeah.
I'm throwing my hands in the air. I'm just like, you know, I don't know if you've seen the video, but...
Yeah, I saw some.
You know, walking out to the cage, that was what an experience too, dude, when your fight song comes on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'd planned all this stuff out, and I'm slapping high fives to people I don't even know, and everybody was there to see, you know. Like I said, this was a sold-out crowd, the first time that it was sold out, and I from what I understand, ever. This was the first time it was ever sold out.
Wow.
And I had a lot of people, hundreds of people that came just to see me, you know. Just
That's
to
awesome.
See, they wanted to see what I could accomplish in there, you know.
Yep.
And to be perfectly honest with you, dude, I didn't even know what I was capable of. I wanted to find out what I could accomplish. I wanted to find out how well I could win.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was just as excited as everybody else, too, because I wanted to see it.
Hey, you know something? Mental toughness will get the job accomplished. That's what it is. And that's what I want to ask you.
Let me tell you this, dude.
Yeah, go ahead.
The fight was already – he had already lost the fight in the weigh-ins.
Absolutely.
I seen it in his eyes.
Yep.
When we weighed in, I was the first one to weigh in we were the last people to weigh in, but I was in front of him. So I took my shirt off, and the first thing he saw was my back, and that's my best feature. And so I already knew as soon as he saw me from behind, he was going to get real nervous because the guys he fought before me were not in shape like I am.
No.
So he was fighting a real athlete this time, not just a couple of sloppy jokers. He was fighting a real athlete. And when we stood off face to face against each other, I had my hands down. I didn't want him to know anything about me. I didn't want him to even know what my fight stance looked like.
Correct.
So I had my hands down.
Yep.
This was all planned out months in advance. And I was drinking a shake in there, a Slurpee shake, you know, just being real chill. He had a group of guys with him all trying to pump him up. He had his hoodie on, trying to look all mean, and it didn't bother me at all. I was just, like, smiling at everybody. We go in there, weigh in, stand off at each other, and he puts his hands up in his fight stance. So I knew what his fight stance was.
Yep.
And we're looking at each other in the eye, and his eyebrows won't stop shaking at me, dude.
Yeah.
I instantly knew that he was scared, even though he was trying to overcome it. He was trying to scare me down.
Yep. Yep.
But I was smiling at him, and I was looking at his eyes, and I was looking at his eyebrows, and he couldn't stop shaking. And I was like, okay, so this is already won for me. You know? Now all I got to do is go out there and perform.
Absolutely.
So the next night we're out there in the cage fighting. We touch hands. And you know, we go back to our corner, the guy says go, the ref says go, and we start fighting, and the only thought in my head was, I gotta feel this guy's power. So I was like, I gotta get him up against the fence so I can feel how strong he is, you know. That'll tell me more about how well I'm gonna win.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I get him up against the cage and I take him down, and it's just nonstop pressuring him against the cage. I would not let him stay in the fight with me because he was 6'2", he had a longer reach on me, and his nickname was the Hammer. and I didn't want to find out what that meant.
Yep.
So I was like, I'm not going to let him hit me from a distance. Now, when I went to take him in, to take him down, he was bashing me in the head and stuff, but those punches, and I knew I was going to have to eat punches to take him down. It was just the way it was.
Yeah.
But I also knew that if I closed the distance, those punches weren't going to be strong enough
exactly.
to knock me out.
Exactly.
They were only going to cause surface damage.
Yep.
So I was like, I can take that.
Yep.
And so that's basically what happened. I pinned him up against the cage, got low enough to take him down, and I almost beat him in the first round with a guillotine choke, but I didn't quite have it.
Yep.
And I knew it from the very beginning, so I decided, I was like, well, I'm just going to press him against the cage and make him work to get out of this, you know, like. I'm going to make him work as long as possible. I want him to be tired when we stand back up again because I don't want him to be angry that I pushed him against the cage and have him come at me. I want him to be tired. I want him to think twice about coming after me
because
if I pin him against the cage again,
he
ain't going to be able to do nothing. And sure enough, that's what happened. And we made it into the second round because it was just like a battle like that. And we broke apart from the cage the first time. We punched out and the clapper went off, which meant I had 10 seconds left, so I basically stalled for 10 seconds to get the rest.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to take a chance in the last 10 seconds and get clocked. So it took me 40 seconds to recover from the first round, which is double the time it took me in training, which was okay because when they yelled out 20 seconds left for everybody to leave the cage, coaches and all that, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. I can do this again. Same thing, round two. So round two, the guy is like, doesn't want nothing to do with having me up on him. So he throws a Superman punch way far away from me, totally missed. Then he throws a kick at me. And as soon as he throws that kick, as soon as I see him start to spin around, like I knew he was going to commit to the full 360 spin, as soon as the kick passed my body and he started to spin, I lunged in on him. And so as soon as he turned around, completely,
boom.
I was right there, and he was right back into the cage.
Yep.
And he was panicking. He was hitting me as hard as he could, but no real damage. I just told myself every time I got hit, I was like, "You got to go now."
Mm-hmm.
And I would make a move to take him down now to throw him off balance, and then you can see it was a bit of a struggle for me to get him down because I had him too high on the hip, so I had to get lower on his legs.
Yep.
Which meant I had to eat some more punches, you know. So I was like, I ate the punches, got him down on the ground. And then as soon as I got him on the ground and mounted him, it was over for him, you know, because I had him mounted with his head facing into the cage. So even if he bridged, he was going to bridge into the cage. There was nowhere for him to go.
Yep.
And plus, with me mounted on top of him, it was either going to be – I was either going to – because I had 2 minutes left in the second round once I mounted him. I was going to either rest on him for about 20 seconds.
Yeah, and then kill him.
Posture up and start ground and pound.
Yep.
Or I was going to take the first submission that I could get. And luckily for me – he had his arm laying there when I took him down. I looked up after I mounted him. I looked up and saw his arm laying there, and I just submitted him with an Americana.
Yep.
I ripped his elbow in three spots. I tore his elbow in three spots and tore his shoulder in five spots.
Ouch.
And then it was over.
Yeah.
You know, he's you know, when I ripped into that, I ripped into it as hard as I could, and I felt the tears, and he screamed and tapped my back, and it was over.
Yeah, it was done. Yeah, that's incredible.
That was the fight, dude. And all I can say is the fight, I did not really – I won the fight with technical jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
I threw maybe five punches the total of the fight. You
yep,
know?
Yep.
My entire goal for that fight was to go in there and take minimal damage and win as fast as possible. But what won me the fight wasn't just the jiu-jitsu. It was that strength that I had. He could not stop the strength. He could not stop me from barreling him into the cage and taking him down. No matter how many punches he threw, he couldn't stop it. There was just too much power. And so that was why I was just like, you know, I was like, it's the power that I had. Nobody could stop me. Not even the pro fighters I practiced with couldn't stop me from taking him down. It's just the power was too strong. When you're pushing a 600-pound sled.
Yeah.
Barreling a 220-pound man into a cage
is nothing, dude. It's nothing.
You know, like,
nope.
And I could do that all day, dude. It was not hard. I mean, when I got up from the fight, you know, I was tired, but I could have went the whole fight. You know,
I trained to go the
whole fight. So, I mean, I was ready to go another round and a half, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Will. We said it in the middle of the show, and I know we're getting near the end. You got time here. we can never overemphasize the power of building true strength.
And, yeah, dude. Right? You know, that's what I'm all about.
That's totally it, man.
That's what I'm about. It's like the stronger you make your body, you can do anything, dude. You can step into a fight with hardly any experience and win.
Yep.
You can go into a strongman contest with just a few months of technical work and win. You can do any of these contests with just a few months of technical adjustments and win, dude. It's like the main thing that you got to do with your body is make it as strong as possible.
I agree.
Which means working out as hard as you can and trying all kind of different angles.
Yes.
Different things. Strongman training, barbell training, gym training, powerlifting, whatever, arm wrestling. All that stuff made a difference. Having all those skills and all that strength is what made it impossible for him to beat me.
Yep. And you know something? That is a lifetime of build. It's not, you know, you've been like,
I'm 21 years into my career.
You got decades, right. Decades like myself and many others here. And you go into some of the specificity that we talk about here with the stones and the rack and the prowlers and the yokes and varying, you know, different things with angles in the power rack, farmers care, tire flips, all that. You don't have to do them all at once. You learn how to set up different phases of training. And I guarantee you just heard Will say, you will become so strong. And we hit a little bit on the mental end. We didn't even dive into what that does. I think you and I are going to have to really do a big show on that. I'll tell you right now, you, like Will said, it will be very hard for anybody to defeat you. And you know something?
Yeah, dude, the stronger you are, how can somebody overcome your power?
It's the power, man, yeah.
Because you can still take a punch. When you make your neck really thick and your traps really
there you go.
That's your cushioning for taking a punch. If you can tuck your chin, you can take a massive beat. And you can keep coming back. You can take damage better than the average person.
Hey, Will, this is what I always say. Neck, traps, fingers. If you want to know the three ingredients to make you be able to lift anything, take a hard blow, a twist or anything.
Imagine getting into a car accident when you're covered in muscle. You don't get beat
hurt like an average person. Not at all. And you know what? It'll save your life.
You can get in a fight and you don't get hurt like the average person.
It'll save your life.
You can take abuse and damage all day long and get back up and go work out the next day.
Well, I was going to say, dish it out. One question quick, and then I'll have you summarize and give everything, and I'll do mine. With the stones, you know, and the yoke and the sandbag over the bar, when you were training that, because I probably will get questions about that, were you doing that every other day, every 3 days? What were you usually doing with that?
It was probably, I would say, every third day.
That's what I was going to say.
With like the stones, I was specific about how I loaded stones. I didn't two motion stone load.
Right. Okay.
Everything was a one motion, would be if I was trying to take a person down.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't pick him up into my lap and then try to load him.
No.
I was like from the ground up, going up and then going down.
Yep.
And so I did my stone loading with one motions. I did circus dumbbell work too.
I
did everything I could I used all my strongman equipment to prepare me for this contest in a resistance training.
That
way I could stay strong physically. Yep. And then the jiu-jitsu and the stand-up was all technical work to get me to become a better fighter, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd have some skills. I'd know how to protect myself from punches and kicks and stuff. So
Well, what I've been doing,
the majority, the meat and potatoes of how I won was just pure power and strength.
Power.
You know?
Hey, I'll tell you,
physical dominance.
Exactly, and I'll tell you this: what I've been using for Dennis as a finisher, we'll take the Hoos of Steel Domination Stone. And keep it around 145 to 150, and I'll have them just do consecutive reps of front squatting with it. Standing up. I'm telling you right now, it will make a man out of you like you wouldn't believe. And Will said the same thing. This doesn't have to be a 400-pound stone to prove jack. I'm telling you right now, you take that stone at the very end of your workout after we've been carrying all different sizes, substituting sandbags for more distance, back and forth, and then you finish yourself off with a stone like that, you're going to be on your butt. I'm telling you right now. But
yeah, dude, that conditioning is
unreal.
Amazing.
It's
unreal.
Yeah, yep. Well,
front carry is so hard. You know, like when you – try to carry a two-thirds of your body weight.
Absolutely.
Feet,
absolutely.
Just, even, a, you know, like 200 feet, down 100 feet, back 100 feet with a turn.
Yep.
I mean, it is unbelievable how tired you become from that, you know.
Hey, like, hey Will,
front carries are incredible.
They're killer. I'll tell you this, and then we'll wrap up. The problem with especially what we like to do, and I'm really tired of hearing it, and I'm very happy that you can do it or whatever, especially, you know, with all the guys now we have on from Scotland and they're coming on at the end of the month. I don't give a damn what you can carry. I don't care what you can front squat with it. Here's my point of everything with it, and this is what I truly believe. You talked about it today. I talk about it today and a lot of other times. Do whatever you can move. But there are other things that you're going to do that you don't need to have a maximum weight. And if you try to train maximum weight all the time, it's going to be counterproductive and work the opposite direction on you.
Yeah, you'll eventually get hurt.
You'll get hurt or burned out. And this is what this is the problem.
Burned out is the being burned out is more scary than being hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least if you're hurt, you still got fire in you. But
exactly.
If you're burned out, you don't want to.
You don't want to do anything. And you know what? I can't emphasize this more. Stop worrying about what other people are lifting. Lift for yourself.
Yes,
do
dude,
it.
It doesn't matter what
it doesn't matter, man.
Because
who cares?
Because you aren't them.
Right.
You have
right.
a different set of abilities.
Exactly.
You have to focus completely on what you can do and what only you can do.
Yes, sir.
Because because you can't control what somebody else can. You can't. I can't control the fact that Hap Thor is 6'9" and 400+ pounds, and he can outlift me.
Yep.
I can only account for what my 540-pound frame can carry and lift.
Well,
that's all I care about.
And it's pretty impressive. Will, give out any information. I'll give mine out and just hang on the line, and we'll wrap today's show up, please.
Yeah, my name is Will Dinwiddie. You can find me on Facebook at Will Dinwiddie. I have an Epic Fitness Solutions Facebook page, and you can find me on Instagram at Epic Fitness Solutions.
All right. We got everything?
That's everything, man.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Don't forget to go out and download our two free ebooks. Just leave your email address. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at our deep vault of material. Will's show will be up, what's today, Wednesday. It'll be up by the weekend. We're getting more and more current with everything, so that's a good thing. Also, too, leave us a 5-star review. We are on both Stitcher and iTunes. That's what we've gotten. If there's a show you'd like Will and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. I'll leave you with multiple things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say words of inspiration. 5 words will change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it today, bend it, break it, tear it off the ground, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 28 years or more, and we thank you for that, Russell. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest business college professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor and like a father to me, my father passed away long before I met John. He would say 2 words to every patient he walked to the door: keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not smile. John was a man's man, and I know he'd be very pleased I kept those 2 words going in his honor. Also, to be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Be part of our family. Join the revolution. You heard it today. This is a revolution Will and I are talking about. And as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you. We'll take it 2 steps further. We are behind you, and we will always support you. I don't know many people that would ever give you a pledge like that. Will, Happy New Year. I'm looking forward to 17 with you again. And congratulations on your accomplishments. what a leader you are in strength, and I mean that wholeheartedly, and I mean that with respect to you, sir.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Now we're
on to try to work and to win the pro national championships in arm wrestling.
Well, good. We'll talk about that. We'll get into that next month. But for now, I want to thank Will Dinwiddie for being on with me today. This is Eric Fiorello. As I say, have a great week. Do something out there that means something. Accomplish something and help 100 people. I guarantee you, your life will only get better. Stay with us, I'm telling you, for the next 28 years, and you're going to see what this place is going to become. So thanks, everyone. Will and I will talk to you next month. I've got, tomorrow's busy. We got Adrian O'Brien, we got Paul Firepower Gray, and we got the completion of our show with Bud Jeffries. So we'll talk to you again, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.